invite you to open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our focus on faith. Hebrews chapter 11. As you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and realize that this is faith's hall of fame, we read through and we find several different Bible characters discussed. Some of them have several verses about them, like Abraham and Moses primarily. But some, though we have much more, we could go back to the Old Testament and read about their lives, only have a single incident mentioned by the Hebrew writer. But with every mention of every character and even the incidents from their lives, we recognize that we're learning something about faith. And as we have studied together, I always want us to be asking, what is it that we learn about faith from these men and women of faith? After several verses on Abraham, we have just single incidences referred to about Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Just a single instance. And I think we find a common theme with each of these, in that each of these, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, were looking forward. They were looking into the future. And their faith caused them to do certain things. I want us to know what those certain things were. But then, by application, take a closer look at particularly what Isaac and Jacob did. But look with me to verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The full account is in Genesis chapter 27, when Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, and we'll be turning there in a few moments. But you'll remember that Rebekah devised and implemented a plan whereby her favorite son, Jacob, would receive the blessing intended for the firstborn Esau. And that when Esau discovered what had happened, he didn't change the blessing. Apparently in that time, that a blessing given by the father was irretractable, irreversible, but also perhaps, as Isaac had already been told, the older would serve the younger. Perhaps he sees God's providence in this as well. But at the very least, we see that, what do we learn about faith? His faith enabled him to look to the future fulfillment of the divine promises. And so he blessed Jacob and Esau in view of those promises coming true for them. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, Isaac was tricked into giving the blessing intended for Esau, granting it to Jacob. But Joseph purposefully chose to bless the younger son, Ephraim, of these two sons of Joseph. But he did it in faith, and here is a grandfather blessing his grandsons, but also looking into the future. He had future things in mind, and so blessed his grandsons accordingly. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So again, Joseph, thinking about the future, knowing what God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And at the close of his life, his mind is set on the future fulfillment of those promises that God had made. We can go back to Genesis chapter 50 and find these words from Joseph to his brothers. I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Where they were was in Egypt. He says, God is going to bring you out of Egypt one day. And when he does, I want you to carry my bones with you and let them be buried in the promised land. This command was kept. When the Israelites left Egypt, they carried Joseph's bones, perhaps his mummy, knowing Egyptian practices during that time. But they carried his bones with them, Exodus 13:19, and was finally laid to rest in the land of promise at Shechem. But you see, again, the common theme here, along with Isaac and Jacob, Joseph was looking to the future, looking to what God had said about the future, how it affected his descendants, and so made provision with those promises in mind. But you see, each of these men, as they approached death, looked in faith to the things that were yet future, but were tied with the promises of God. And then they planned accordingly. Isaac and Jacob blessed their sons and grandsons. Joseph instructed his brothers to bury his bones in the promised land. But again, I want us to focus in on what Isaac and Jacob did for their sons and grandsons. It says they blessed them. They blessed them. Again, focusing in on verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You see, their faith, like the faith of Isaac here, not only impacted his life, but as he looked into the future, realizing he is nearing death, his concern, as our concern would be, goes to his sons. What about them? And what does God have in store for them? And so as he looks to the future beyond his death, he's concerned about the lives of his children. You see, each of these three, their faith caused them to think about the welfare of future generations. They no doubt wanted to leave a legacy of faith behind that would impact their children and their grandchildren and the descendants to come. And so they blessed them. Isaac and Jacob blessed their sons and grandsons. Been doing some reading in a book that was shared with me by Gary Smalley and John Trent on the blessing, the gift of the blessing. They've done a lot of research in this area, into this practice of a father or a grandfather blessing their children and grandchildren. And it's a very significant event in the lives of those children. And we'll discover as we talk about it that it gave these children a tremendous sense of being highly valued by their parents. And it also carried with that, it pictured a special future for them. And at a specific point of their lives, they would hear these words of encouragement, love, and acceptance from their parents. So let's go back to Genesis 27. Genesis chapter 27. Let's review how Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, and see what application we can find in our lives. Genesis chapter 27, I want to do some reading. And yes, I finally reached that point, Bob. I got to have some help here. Genesis 27, let's begin reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim, that sounds familiar, that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. If you remember the background here, Esau was the man of the outdoors. He loved to hunt. And so the time has come. Isaac knows that his death is drawing near. Go out and hunt for me this, my favorite game. Prepare it for me, and I'll give you the blessing. Jacob, on the other hand, was the one who was the indoors type and thus became Rebekah's favorite. But notice verse 5, Rebekah's mentioned. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. And while Esau's away hunting that favorite game, Rebekah has devised a plan that she would prepare some meat. Two choice kids of the goats would make savory food for Isaac, but would have Jacob go in disguised as Isaac and present this meal to his father. Well, Jacob has something. He sees a problem here. Verse 11, Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." We can see from the wording here that, well, not only about the skin, the different types of skin, hairy versus smooth, but Jacob doesn't want to be cursed by his father. That curse or that blessing would carry a lot of weight with the children. And Jacob is fearful that Isaac will be able to look through the disguise, if you will, and see the difference and would curse Jacob instead of blessing him. But his mother has a plan. She'll take the skin of those goats and attach it somehow to Jacob's skin. And so when Isaac would feel Jacob's arms, he would feel that hairy skin again. And he doesn't see well and perhaps doesn't hear real well, though he does see some differences in their voices. She's confident that she can get away, that they can get away with this deceit. And now Jacob comes before Isaac, verse 18. He went to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise and sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord God brought it to me." You see deceit throughout this account, this plan. But Isaac said to Jacob, but he's still a little concerned about this and wondering, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you're really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. And so he blessed him. Verse 26. His father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing. By the way, Jacob had Esau's clothing on. And here he gave the blessing. Notice the wording of it. "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be those who bless you. Enter Esau." Can't you see him coming in? "I've prepared the game that you wanted. It's your favorite, father." And Isaac, when he hears Esau, and Esau identifies himself, Isaac is extremely troubled, and he realizes what has happened. Verse 33, Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." You see how important it is to Esau about the blessing. Yes, as the firstborn, he would receive a double inheritance. But to me, it's more than just the inheritance. It's receiving that blessing from his father. Isaac relays to him what he has now realized what has happened. Esau says again, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" Verse 36, "The supplanter. He has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Is there not a blessing for me?" Verse 38, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Isaac does bless him with a lesser blessing. Verse 39, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." Verse 41, "So Esau hated Jacob." But here's one account, one example of how a father would bless his children. We see deceit here. We see what fulfillment of what God had said would happen. But in this example, I want us to note some components of the blessing that Gary Smalley and John Trent have pointed out. Things that can help us be an influence on the children around us. I know there are mothers and fathers among us that want more than anything for their children to be blessed. I know there are grandparents among us that want to be sure that their grandchildren are blessed. I know there are adults in here that count some children here in this assembly as dear as their own, and they want for them to be blessed. There's something you and I can do to be a blessing to the children that we're associated with. These principles we'll find deal with parents and their children, grandparents with their grandchildren, but the principles can be used in just being an influence for good on other people. But notice five basic elements of the blessing as we read about it in Scripture. Some things that were included and some things that we can implement as we seek to be an influence in the lives of children, to bless them for generations to come. Number one, there's a meaningful touch. Meaningful touch was an essential element in bestowing the blessing in Old Testament times. You notice Isaac calling Jacob to him. Yes, I think it's to investigate him. This sounds like Jacob. I've got to check him out. But there was also in this blessing, perhaps the laying on of hands or some other gesture, a hug, an embrace, that would accompany the giving of the blessing by the parent or the grandparent. And that's something that we need to practice with our children, our grandchildren, meaningful touch. The act of touch is a key to communicating warmth, personal acceptance, affirmation. It's even good for our physical health. But meaningful touch. Secondly, there's always a spoken message. A spoken message. You see here that Isaac, in giving his blessing to Jacob and to Esau, had a message that he communicated, that he vocalized. And it's important in blessing others that we communicate it verbally. In many homes today, words of love and acceptance are seldom heard. A blessing becomes a blessing only when it is spoken. What if there's the lack of that communication? Then our children are left to wonder. And what they glean from silence is confusion. Am I accepted or not? Do they approve of me or not? And so it needs to be vocalized on our part. That message must be spoken. Number three, another component of the blessing is attaching high value. To value something means to attach honor to it. And that's the meaning of this verb, to bless. And we can see it particularly in Isaac blessing Jacob here. There was some high value attached there. Let people serve you. Let nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. You're gonna fulfill a prominent spot. People are going to look up to you and look to you for guidance. You are extremely valuable. Words of blessing should carry with them the recognition that that person, that child, is valuable and has redeeming qualities. And in Scripture's recognition is based on who they are, not simply on their performance. Notice that blessing again, Isaac's blessing to Jacob. Jacob came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, verse 27, and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed." Like the smell of a field. You know that smell. But this is a compliment here. And it's leading to this blessing. There's a word picture being painted. "Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be those who bless you." So he uses the smell of the outdoors in the form of a blessing. "May God give you of the dew of the heaven, of the fatness of the earth. May you be blessed." That word picture is used to describe how valuable his son was to him. And word pictures are a powerful way of communicating acceptance. I know Ricky has practiced this when our seniors have graduated in the past. And I remember occasions when he talks about each of the seniors, that at times he has given them a word picture, stated something that reminds him or of some quality of theirs that has some significant meaning. And I know as we get to know our children intimately, and grandparents get to know their grandchildren, there's some things that may come to light about them, about their personalities, about their talents, with which we may paint a word picture and be able to use that in the form of a blessing. But not only is it a statement, a message of high value, a fourth component of the blessing is picturing a special future. Isaac's blessing of Jacob again was picturing a special future. "Let peoples serve you. Let nations bow down to you." Again, you're going to be in a position of authority. You're going to be a leader among men. There's a special future for you. And our blessing should communicate to our children, to our grandchildren, to children we're seeking to mentor, how we believe in them and that God has a special future for them. Now, one distinction should be made here. Isaac's blessing, as it, with other blessings in Scripture, carried with it really the weight of biblical prophecy. This blessing that Jacob or Isaac gives Jacob is prophetic. We see how it comes true. Though we don't have that ability to make prophecies concerning our children, we can picture a special future for them. We can, based upon the qualities, the talents that they have, vocalize how we believe that if they'll trust God, that He will help them to use them in a way that will glorify Him and benefit others. We can convey to them that the gifts and character traits that they have are attributes that God can bless and use in the future. So as we bless our children, we need to think about their future, just as Isaac and Jacob did. But there's a fifth component of the blessing, and that is an active commitment. That when we give this blessing, when we think about our children and think about their futures and picture that special future and attach high value to them and speak that message of love and affirmation, that we're also making a commitment as we do so. And the commitment is, "I believe this so much that I want to help you reach those lofty goals." The last element of the blessing pictures the responsibility that goes with giving that blessing. It needs to be backed by a commitment to do everything one possibly can to help that one that's being blessed to be successful. You see, blessing our children in these ways is an important vehicle for communicating a sense of identity, to communicate meaning purpose to their lives, as well as love and acceptance. So as we think about Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau, as we think about Jacob blessing his grandsons, how is it that you and I can bless and be a blessing to our children and grandchildren? I want to suggest three ways tonight. How to bless and be a blessing to your children and grandchildren. Number one is to lead by example. You want to bless the lives of your children. You lead by example. You want to be a faithful child. You want your children to be faithful to God. You want your children to be active in the work of the body of Christ. You lead by example. You want your children, your grandchildren, to be people of integrity, of morality. Then lead by example. I think about Lois and Eunice, a mother and grandmother, and to Timothy, and how they demonstrated the truth before him, and no doubt influenced him to become a Christian and dedicated servant of God. Paul would write to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it is in you also. That word dwelt means to inhabit, to live in. I call to remembrance that genuine faith that lived in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that faith still resides in you. And no doubt Timothy would say that it was because of the influence of this godly grandmother and godly mother that was so powerful in causing him to also follow in the steps of Jesus. If we want to be a blessing to our children and grandchildren, we need to lead by example. Secondly, we need to help them to learn God's Word. Help them learn God's Word. Lois and Eunice also, they didn't just live the message, they taught it to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says to him, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He talks about knowing from whom he had learned these things, and from whom had he learned them but his grandmother and his mother, who wanted him to be a Christian so much that they taught him to be. If we want to influence our children and grandchildren and other children, if we want to bless them and be a blessing, we need to help them learn God's Word. Thirdly, we need to lift them by blessing them. Make application of this Old Testament idea, concept of blessing. I remember a family that shared this book with me said it changed the way they parent children. And I took that comment, recognized from who made that comment, and it has impacted the way I view parenting. Lift the children by blessing them. Beginning with that meaningful touch, that speaking that message of high value. Picture that special future for the individual that is backed by an active commitment to helping that special future come to pass. We've seen in Hebrews 11, in these brief incidences in the lives of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph mentioned. What is it that we learn about faith from them? We learn that faith not only prepares oneself for the future, but it also seeks to prepare others too, particularly those that we love. Particularly our children, our grandchildren, those children that are like children and grandchildren to us, that we want their futures to be bright as the promises of God. We can bless our children and grandchildren and others most when we influence them to be Christians. May God help us and giving that blessing to them. I'll never forget a mother writing about an incident. She was bathing her toddler, little girl, and as she was bathing her, the mother began to reflect and to think about, I wonder what she's going to be when she grows up. The little girl loved to sing. Will she be a singer? Will she be a teacher? On and on. She just began to dream. And so she thought she would ask this little toddler, perhaps 3, 4 years old, honey, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? And I love the answer. She looked up at her mother and he said, why, Mama, a Christian first. And isn't that what we want for our children and our grandchildren? Whatever career they may choose, however many children they hope to have, whatever course in life they pursue, we want them to be a Christian first. And I believe that their choice to be so, to be such, can be impacted in a powerful way by you and by me. If we'll just bless those children and give them that future, emphasizing the importance of being a Christian first. Are you a Christian tonight? Perhaps it's the time that you've been waiting for to obey the gospel and become a child of God tonight. Perhaps those of us who are Christians have not been living like we should. We haven't set the right type of examples, and we want to be a blessing and not a hindrance to the children in our lives. Perhaps there's some recommitments we need to make, some rededications to serving God like we should. If that be the case, if you need to respond, won't you come right now as we stand and sing.